Good morning, everyone. Hopefully there's not too many Sunday school teachers that are disappointed this morning that they didn't get their turn to teach. But I'm glad I'm allowed to take your spot this morning and give you a little glimpse into what we do in Thailand. So we're with Global Tribes Outreach, and the ministry that we started is called Giving Hope, which is college students, and we'll get to that a little later. As we go through this, I'd like us to think about that quote that's up there. It says, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." Now, that's why each of us are here this morning. This quote was written by Mother Therese. She would have been a person who dedicated her life to reaching out to street people in India. And I'm sure as she worked, she wished she could change everyone that she came in contact with. But she knew she couldn't, and she wrote this quote. You know, she couldn't change the whole situation around her, but she could cast a stone and make an impact around her. And that is what each of us are called to do as Christians, to, as we live, to throw those stones out to those around us to make an impact. And we'll talk that a little bit more as we go along. I don't know if the noise is turned on or not, but we'll find out here in a minute. So if you don't know where Thailand is, we'll take a trip here and you'll find out. If you wonder how long this is, just ask Tim. He's been there, and he'll fill you in on those details. Tim Denlinger. So this morning, I'd like to give you a little glimpse into the religion of Thailand and also the ministry that we're involved in there in Thailand. So if you don't know where Thailand is, there's the picture. We're nestled in between Burma and Cambodia and Laos. Let's see, D&I would have people in Cambodia, right? And also Myanmar, correct? I think so. And also Bangladesh is on there as well. Yeah. So we're in northern Thailand, is where we live, there where the arrow is. This slide here is an active slide. It's called eStar.ws, and it's a retired missionary who studied Thailand. He was a missionary in Thailand. And he, all the counties of Thailand, he looked how many Christians there are, and he put together this map, and it's a live map. So every time you go on it, it's updated if another church has started or more Christians. So you can see how the progress is going as far as how many Christians or people becoming Christian in Thailand. The population of Thailand is like 65 million, and you can see the religion is Buddhism, and it's 93%. And if you look there, Christian is 0.69. That's not 69%, that's 0.69, less than 1%. And all the different colors show where the Christians are and where there aren't, according to this missionary. You can see northern Thailand, where we are, is the most reached. The dark green is 10%. A little bit lighter is 5 to 10% of the people are reached. You move away, it's white, and that's 1 to 5%. The light brown is 0.5 to 0.25%. And then the ones that are darker brown are they're 0% reach. There's no Christians that are known of in those counties. All the little lines is the different counties or provinces in Thailand. So there's a lot of work to be done in Thailand. If you do the math, like, there's 145 unbelievers to one Christian in Thailand. So do pray that God would raise up people to go and serve, and that their own people would have a heart to take the gospel to their own people. You might be asking, why is the top of Thailand more reached than the rest of Thailand? And thanks to Adonai Judson, over 100 years ago, went to Burma and he reached out to the group, the Karen. It's a mountain tribal group. It's called Karen. And he focused on the Karen people group, translated the Bible into their language and some other literature. And he toiled most of his life. And after he died, there wasn't too much to his name. But the few people that he impacted, why, they have started a great movement, and the Karen people are doing a great job of taking the gospel to their own people. And because of that, that has spilled over into Thailand, and that's why those northern provinces have more Christians than anywhere else. It's because of what Anani Judson was willing to dedicate his life to be a missionary, and people are still being blessed because of what he's done. So, a little bit about the religion. Here, Christianity is, we can say we have a church on every corner. Well, in Thailand, we can say that there's a temple to Buddha on every corner. There's 70-some provinces in Thailand, and there's like 30,000 of these temples throughout Thailand. It's hard to believe, but that's what Google said, I'll say that. It said there's over 40,000 temples, but there's 30,000 that are active. So that would be like 400 and some temples per province in Thailand. Buddhism is basically a works. Make sure you do enough of good so that you can outweigh the bad, so that you don't have too much bad karma in your life. And so there's a lot of acts that go on to have right doing things so that you tip the scale in the right way. So there's many things they offer, they pray. Here on that, the people are walking around a holy area. Each temple has a pagoda, it's called, and it's the holy place in the temple. And if they pray and walk around that, they can make merit, which will hopefully tip their good the right way. Also on there is people praying to Buddha. This is what the inside of a Buddha temple looks like. It's usually an open room like this with no benches or anything in it. And in the front would be a big statue of Buddha. And you can kneel in there and spend time praying. They say that if you sit in front of a Buddha, you can connect with his spirit and then ask him for good luck in your life. The next slide is of another merit-making act that they do. In the mornings, you can give. The monks don't get food for the day when they dedicate themselves to the temple, so they go through the streets and ask, or their people come out, give food, and if they give food, and then the monks will bless them back, and that's also a merit thing where you can also hopefully tip your scale in the right way. So unfortunately, we can kind of laugh at it and say how silly. And it is. But the only way that they'll be able to get out of that is if we're willing to tell them about Jesus and they find out what God has done for them through Jesus and how that they can do acts of kindness that will go into eternity if they know who Jesus is, rather than doing these dead acts of that go nowhere. It's my family. Oh yeah, there you are. I'm gonna have our family come up here, and we'll sing a song before I start talking about our ministry. And so let me give you who we are here. Emily is our oldest, and she would have been coming here some. She now goes to East Hanover because she found somebody she thinks pretty special. And so, anyway, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's Kim and Jeremy, Audrey, Kaylee, Zachary, and Mackenzie. If you don't remember, just say a name with a Y on the end, and you'll be close. So we're going to sing a song, How Great Thou Art, and it's in Thai. so you can hear what Ty sounds like. And we forgot our guitar, so we'll do this in a cappella.
Stand because she doesn't have a paper. So Paul told us in Galatians that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, and if we do that, we will fulfill the law of Christ. And Jesus had told the Sadducees and Pharisees one day when they were tempting him that not only are we supposed to love him with all we have, but we're all supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And thinking of Mother Teresa and that quote of doing whenever we can, throw a stone to make an impact. You know, we as Christians, we have been called to bear one another's burdens. That's who we are. Jesus told us before he went back that we're supposed to go and make a difference in the world around us. And I don't know what that does to you if you think about it, that my responsibility is to bear the burdens of those around us. To me, when you think of all the different problems that are around us, it can become quite heavy. Because, wow, this is what it is to fulfill the law of Christ. But Paul wrote there also in Galatians that he encourages, listen, don't get weary in doing good, because we will reap if we don't faint. So he says, as we have opportunity, let's do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. So I just want to challenge you this morning to do that. Do for that one. Do for that group that is close to you. Do for that one that you wish you could do for everyone. Be willing to go deep with a few. Be willing to take time and go long term with that person or that group that individual. Because when we're willing to make an impact to a few, in reality, we are making an impact to the many. It's so beautiful thinking of the church this morning and who we are as we are that salt. And each of us does that. We can truly make an impact in the communities where God has called us to. And that's kind of who we are in Thailand with Hope for Tribes. You know, we can't reach all the university students in Thailand, but we can be that salt. We can throw a stone into a person's life and impact them. A little back story of how we got to Thailand. 8 years ago, we moved to Thailand with GTO to be house parents for the teams that they would come from America. So the teams that would come to visit Asia for a month or 6 months, we were part of being house parents to them, and also the leaders of that led those groups lived at the same place we did, and we were an encouragement to them and to help them with the teams. Part of our job description was to be involved with the children's home, like an hour and a half out of the city where we of Chiang Mai. And in us going there every week is when the Lord started working in us as we saw the needs of the students, and then seeing the students when they graduate from the school in the village there, and they want to go to the city to complete their education. There was nobody there to link them to the city. So these students are poor at this home. The students are from very poor, unfortunate situations. Maybe mom and dad didn't want them. Maybe the children were given to grandma to raise and she was unable to because she was too poor. Or maybe because the parents were raising drugs and they ended up in prison and there was no place for the children. So all the children there come from situations that are less than desirable. And so as these children start out, get their education, when they were finished at the home, they were sort of hung out to dry because they had a fight for themselves. And because they came from situations that couldn't help them, it would be very difficult for them to finish their education. Along with the education thing, it's different in Thailand than here. It's important to have a degree to get a good paying job. So for us, we can finish 8th grade or 12th grade, and we can get into the workforce, and we can prove that we're a good employee, and we can crawl up through the company that we're working for and make a good living. But in Thailand, the employers like to see a paper saying that you can work. So they like to see that you have a degree in an area before they will hire you, which doesn't really make sense to us, but that's the way it is. So these students coming from places, the government pays for their grade school, but when it comes to college, same as here, it's up to the student to come up with the money. So the students came from poor situations, so they would actually probably never be able to go to college unless someone would help them. And so we felt the Lord asking us to move away from what we're doing and come around these students, not only financially, but also to help them in their Christian walk, because these students would have dedicated their lives to Christ before they finished their high school. There's a lot of different barriers that they have in their culture. One is they don't like to go to new places unless they're invited or if they have a friend to take them. So for the students to go from the mountain town into the city and get to know the Christians or go to a church is about ain't going to happen because they don't have anybody to take them or they don't have nobody to invite them. So by us pulling away and starting to get involved with the Christian church in Chiang Mai, we could connect them to the Christians in the city and invite them to go along with us to church so that they could be able to learn to know who the Christians are in the city. So that was the beginning 6 years ago. So we started taking students from this one home. And after 2 years, we had 7 students. and we felt we needed more help. And so I had wanted to change Thai teachers just to get another perspective. And in getting to know my new Thai teacher, he had a desire to mentor young people, especially college students. And so we felt he's the person for us to ask to join our ministry because it continues to grow. So James and Esther are right here. He's sort of the director of the ministry today. So three years ago, the students, our house was quite full, and so we built a building at James's house for the boys. So the boys moved to James's house 2 years ago, and that would be them, the boys that live with James today. And then this past year, I got to know a single Thai girl who also had a desire to mentor young people, and we felt that she's a person to ask to take care of the girls. So this spring, the girls moved from our house in with her, which is just up the road from where James lives, where we built the building. A little bit about our ministry. I got to really start talking fast. So our ministry, basically, we're interested in equipping the students with whatever they need to be able to grow their wings in their walk. So we have a Bible program that the students, this is one requirement that they have before when they move in with us, they need to also be willing to go through this program. And it's a program from the local college, or not the local seminary. And when they finish this program, the seminary gives them a certificate, which is also a benefit for the student, because if he or she goes back to the village, they can get involved with the church work because they can show that they've studied and they have some Bible knowledge behind them. So it's a benefit for the students. So we have weekly Bible studies going through this program. At the seminary, it's just a month or so that they go through these 10 books, and they've allowed us to use the 4 years that the students are with us to teach this program. And it's basically the first book is for them to understand how the New Testament fit together, and then they do an Old Testament, a New Testament survey. There's some personal development books, Bible doctrine, church history, and knowing how to be a missionary is also a book. So it's a very good, solid Bible teaching program that we can offer for the students so they can go deeper in their walk with the Lord. Other activities that we have to allow them to exercise the gifts that God has given them. One advantage in the workplace is to know English. So we offer English classes twice a week if they want them, so where they can learn English. Because if they know English, that'll land them a better job after their college years. We also like to give them time to work together to be able to learn communication skills between themselves, and also give them opportunity to share their testimony and use the gifts that God has given them, whether it's through music or teaching. That other picture there is when they're done with the Bible survey, we have them pick a character in the Bible that they were impressed with and then share about it. And this girl is sharing her story. It was on Jonah. And she's an artist, so she had drawn her pictures and was having her pictures held up as she told her story. Here, we also have times where they can invite their fellow students in that are unbelievers, where they have activities together so they can show the love of Christ to their fellow students. So they have cooking nights or soccer matches or game nights, or we can interact and hopefully one day give them the opportunity to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for them. Just to show where some of the students have come from, these are pictures of a couple of the students in their villages. From city life to country life is about like night and day in Thailand. The cities are fairly modern, but you get out into the hills and it is very different. So those pictures are from villages where the students are from. Maybe I'll tell the story. Pibe, the girl at the top, is with her grandma. She would have been our first student 6 years ago. She was born and she was still a baby when her mother died. And so her dad didn't want to take care of the children because his wife died, and so he gave them to grandma. Grandma was too poor to take care of the children, and that's how they got to the compassion home that we were involved with. And she became our first student. She's graduated 2 years now and is working back in her village. Her desire was to go to college to get a degree in community development so she could go back, get a job to help her village develop. And she just got that prayer answered just 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. She had done some job applications and they were turned down. And it was, when was the 1st of January? Oh, 1st of January, 1st of December. It was out on a Friday. So it was like the Wednesday before December 1st, the government called her and said, hey, we have a job for you. Could you start Friday? And she was living in the city, so she moved back to her village just kind of overnight and is now in a job where she can actually, part of her dream can be met of helping develop her village, or at least the hillside where she grew up in. Here's a picture of this year's students that graduated. We like to have a time where we let them invite their friends from college and then bless them, pray over them, and thank them for their accomplishments that they've done being with us. So far, all the students that have graduated have stayed in the city, so all the students are still part of our church service on Sunday morning. So after I got to know James, think about church, they said, we didn't really have in mind that we were going to start a Sunday morning service. But as we talked, you know, if we start our own service, this would give all the students opportunities to use their gifts. Because of the way the Thai church is, and you need to have your little document before you can share a church or be part of something. This way the students could actually exercise their gifts before. So we started a Sunday morning service to allow them to lead worship, teach Sunday school, and be able to build on the gifts that God has given them. Here's a picture yet of James's place before we built. And this is after. So this is where we have church and all our activities. The downstairs of the building is a big open room where we have church and they have different activities. And upstairs is where the boys live. It's a dorm with a couple bedrooms and a couple bathrooms. My time's up. Just ways that you can be involved with us if you want. We have some prayer cards back there of some of the students. That you can pick one up and become a prayer partner. There's also an email address on there if you want to write them a note of encouragement. Prayer is something they need a lot of because of the pressures of their culture, the Buddhism, and to bathe them in prayer is a good thing. Also, because the students all come from situations where they can't afford to pay their own way through college, we offer sponsorships for the students. And if you'd like to give money to sponsor a student, that information's back in the table as well. Also, for future teams, and this is where you can get involved as well, because of us getting involved with students and learning to know quite a few Thai people, there's a lot of different ones that ask, how can we take the gospel back to their villages? And so in me and James dreaming and talking, James said he thinks one way that we could do it is to have teams of people from America come to Thailand and show the love of Christ through some project, whether it would be doing something for the village, or if they would like the team to come and teach English for a week. And then he said, as the foreigners, as we as Americans, foreigners, can be like a link for him to start, or the Thai people to start, a relationship with the people in the village, because relationships are very important. If you don't have a relationship with somebody, it's difficult to share the gospel with them. So as we dream here, hopefully in the next year here, we're going to have different times when teams can come to Thailand to go to villages to start, be that link where we can start building relationships with people so that the gospel can go to those villages one day. So that's a little about us in a nutshell. I feel like I kind of just went over the top, but that's fine. I don't know if anybody has a question yet before I sit down, or you can talk later during the fellowship meal too, but I don't know if somebody has a quick question they'd like to ask. If not, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share this morning, and hopefully I made some sense for you.